Back here on 560 WQAM, I am Zach Duarte alongside Manny Navarro, who covers the Canes for The Athletic. And now, we've been talking some Heat basketball throughout the show, so we had to throw it out to the guy who probably knows the most about Miami Heat and covering them for a very, very long time. Joining us now here on 560 WQAM, Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat for the Sun Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at IraHeatBeat. Ira, you are out in Chicago right now. Is it very cold and windy in the month of May in Chicago?
It's crazy, guys. This is literally the weather. Yesterday, it was 80. Today, it was 45, and they were talking about snow, and tomorrow, it's supposed to be 78. I mean, this windy city has got to make up its mind.
I love it. You're out there at the covering the NBA draft combine. Is there a couple players you're keeping your eye on for the Miami Heat throughout the process?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've written about them also. When you look at this draft in 13, there will be quality flowing to the Heat. There were some players who decided not to show up, just like the NFL Combine, who could easily slip to number 13. Bol Bol, the center, or the outside shooting big man, actually, from Oregon. Rudy Hachimura from Gonzaga. They weren't here. They could be Heat guys. They could still be interviewed. But for the guys who were here, I mean, we wrote about it in both newspapers. Kevin Porter Jr. yesterday, the unbelievably, I don't want to say egotistical, but let's say cocky shooting guard from Southern Cal who believes it would be an abject crime for him to fall to number 13. He sees himself as a top five, but he could, partially because of that attitude. And then today we spoke to Romeo Langford, who's so soft-spoken, literally I had almost put my tape recorder in the kid's mouth just to hear him. And he spoke about how he wants to be more like Damian Lillard and sort of, you know, notice for his play and not his talk. So it'll be interesting to see if the Heat go sort of for the cocksure arrogance or for the settled-in kid, knowing anyone you get at 13 is going to be a prospect with flaws, or he wouldn't be at 13.
Ira, I know the Heat's always sort of taken the mindset of you take the best player available, mm-hmm. right? They don't really go by position. But considering how much this roster has changed in the last year, trading away, you know, Wayne Ellington, Tyler Johnson, the situation with Goran, Dwayne Wade retiring, does it make sense for them to take a guard this time?
It's interesting, Manny, because I'm actually writing this from my Sunday column in the Sun Sentinel. I think the Heat are looking at two different situations. They're looking at playing out the string with this roster, with Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside 1 year left. Both are probably going to opt back in. And then next year, when James Johnson and Deion Waiters become expiring contracts, I think the Heat's looking at this draft as if there is no current roster, getting ready for the next rendition of their team. So if they do take a big man like Bol Bol, 7 foot whatever, 7 foot four, whatever you want to put him at, it's because they believe they're drafting for when Hassan Whiteside leaves. And if they draft a point guard, they're drafting for when Goran Dragic leaves. So I know it's cliche, Manny, but I think they're going to take the best player available because they're basically saying, if this team can make itself right, we'll ride it out. But we're getting ready for what's next. It's a lot like what's going on with the Dolphins. If, you know, if they wind up and Fitzmagic can make this thing work, great. If not, they're looking at sort of the Josh Rosen era and the next era or the next draft. I think it's best player available. I don't think redundancy will be an issue. And I think right now they're almost trying to make the player they draft right now more of a fit for 2021 than necessarily for the 2019-2020 season.
In terms of, and we're joined alongside here, Ira Winderman, again, covers the Heat for the Sun Sentinel. In terms of, there's a report that came out today about Mike Conley and the Heat potentially showing interest. Do you believe in these rumors? And if you do or don't, do you think it'd be a good move to acquire him and his contract for the next 2 years?
Well, this is sort of a how rumors get started. Rumors get started because, number one, we know Ja Morant is going to go to the Memphis Grizzlies, so they're sort of going to have their point guard or their guard of the future. So I get that part of the equation. Then people look at it and say, hey, Mike Conley, that's a guy that Pat Riley was interested in, when Manny knows everyone is a guy Pat Riley was interested in when it comes to all the rumors. So you have that part to deal with as well. It makes sense for this reason. It gives the Heat a two-year look at a player where they also have plenty of one-year expiring contracts, or at least a couple, to make it work. So the question becomes this. If you're going to make a deal for Mike Conley and you're the Heat, and again, a player in his 30s anyway, sure, Goran Dragic comes back. You can flip his remaining 1 year for 2 years of Mike Conley, set back your remake from 2020 to 2021, But what else would the Grizzlies want? And guys, if they would want a first-round pick, that's where I would stop the conversation, because the Heat needs to keep those young assets also. So it's a matter of what is Memphis looking for. If they're looking for salary cap relief, the Heat can do that. The Heat can send Dragic and another expiring contract, and Memphis gets out of Mike Conley's money. If Memphis wants more, I think they're going to have to look elsewhere.
Ira, when you look at this roster and maybe some of the young pieces that are going to be part of this core, you know, Derek Jones Jr., of course, mm-hmm. Josh, Justice, does Pat Riley at all feel, and I asked you this question a couple months ago when we had you on sure. 790, do we at all feel that there is a player to honestly build around, and or is it just we're going to see here in the next 2 years if there is somebody to build around?
I think it's more that, Manny. I think, you know, God bless if Justice Winslow or Josh Richardson or even Bam come around and wind up being that transformative player. But there's a reason that they are hoarding future salary cap space, be it either in the 2020 offseason or more likely the 2021 offseason, to get that transformative player. I think everything being done right now is to get the complementary pieces in place so when they land, Pat Riley calls it a whale or even two of those, they're in position. I don't see a player right now, honestly, maybe you guys disagree, who comfortable every night not only can get me 20, which is sort of the minimal starting point, but I always say this about a transformational player. Is there a guy on your roster who you know a few times during the season is capable of a 40-point game? I don't see that on the roster. I don't see right. Justice Winslow as a 40-point scorer. I don't see Josh Richardson as a 40-point scorer. And come the playoffs, you need your Damian Lillard type. You need your guy who can step up and carry your team. I don't think they have that, so I think that guy, Manny, they're still waiting on to get.
Talking with Ira Winderman here. You can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. A couple more questions before we let you get back to the chilly Windy City as it is tonight. Ira, you had a tweet after the NBA announced that Tyreke Evans had been dismissed and disqualified from the league for 2 years. And in your tweet, you said that the Players Association, the NBA, the teams are prohibited from discussing what exactly happened here. But what has to happen for a player to get dismissed for 2 years?
Well, it's almost never marijuana, because you have to go through like 5 degrees of suspension and other stuff to get into a problem with that. The first couple of times, you don't even know. And then it's going to a treatment program, and then it's a short suspension. Recreational drugs are different. And often it's something like methamphetamine or something like that, and I'm not linking this to any player because there's an ultimate level of privacy with the NBA. But we know players who have had this suspension before. Number one is Chris Anderson, who resurrected his career when he came back to the Heat. We know that O.J. Mayo is just now finishing a similar suspension. So it's something like that. It's recreational drug use of a stronger level than just marijuana, whether it's cocaine, whether it's methamphetamine, whether it's heroin or something like that. It's something pretty serious. And the NBA has said this. Their program is not designed to be punitive, although it sure sounds like that at the moment. It's to be rehabilitative. So when the NBA says temporarily suspended or indefinite suspension, what they mean is we realize with a problem like this, you need time away from basketball, away from this setting, to get your life back in order. And if you do, like Chris Anderson, like O.J. Mayo is trying right now, the league does bring you back. So that's where that stands right now. It was shocking to everyone when the news came out and the NBA sent out the release. We were all sitting there at the Sportsplex talking about the combine and like, whoa, this is a game changer. It really came out of the blue, guys.
In terms of what's going on in the conference finals, obviously you've got Golden State up ahead against Portland 2-0. I said a week ago that the best round in the playoffs was going to be that second round, just because mm-hmm. you kind of had what I think was the NBA finals in that Houston-Golden State series, whereas if Golden State advances, I think it's an easy path to them without LeBron James in their way. And if Houston wins, then maybe you get a little bit more contentious series. I don't want to say Golden State is better without Kevin Durant, but do they play better without Kevin Durant?
They're different. And I tweeted this out during the game last night. They're more enjoyable. When did we fall in love with the Warriors? We fell in love with the Warriors with the Splash Brothers. We fell in love with the Warriors when it was Steph and it was Klay Thompson and it was everyone else in support. That's what we're getting again. We got a beautiful two-man game. I don't know if you saw the end of the game. Recall this play when Steph, Draymond Green, they came down the lane together. They played the two-man game. Draymond Green scored a decisive layup, and you said to yourself, wow, That's such nice two-man game. That's such nice team basketball. When KD is playing and he's an unbelievable isolation talent, a lot of it is on his own. It's get out of the way. I'm going to shoot over the top. Are you better with Kevin Durant? Yeah, you're better with one of the best players in the league. But are you a more enjoyable watch without him? Yeah, you are. The Warriors have been more fun to watch since KD went down than the games before he went down. I agree, the Blazers hardly a challenge. I do think they'll need KD back for the finals, especially if it's against the Bucks and the length of Giannis and what Milwaukee has there. But I do believe the Golden State Warriors' greatest challenge is already past them with that Rockets series. So to me, does their motivation stay as steeled as it was when they played that second-round series against Houston?
All right, well, let's look past the finals and let's assume that the Warriors win again.
Yay!
What does Kevin Durant do this summer?
Oh, he's out of there. He is out of there. And this moment, to me, only makes it more obvious he's out of there. The Warriors have more fun without him. The Warriors are going to have to commit to a certain level of contracts and stop. And as I tweeted after the game last night, Draymond Green means everything with Clay and with Steph and the way he opens the floor with his uniqueness. So I don't want to say that Draymond Green is more important or better than Kevin Durant, but he works better with this group. So if they have to trim salary, stay within a reasonable salary, they'll go back to who they were before. And even Andre Iguodala, it's crazy. This year, Dwayne Wade retired at 37, and everyone said, yeah, that's about right. And yet you look at Andre Iguodala at 35 with that body and that steel and the plays he's making. As long as the Warriors get supporting players like that, they'll be fine. KD goes to New York, gets his own team, but unlike in Oklahoma City, he gets it in a major market. I think that's the ultimate end game for him.
Ira, two more questions before we let you go. The draft lottery took place the other day. We saw three of the four teams in the top four be teams that were later on in the draft lottery odds, that being the New Orleans Pelicans at 7, the Memphis Grizzlies at 8, and the Los Angeles Lakers at 11. I had a little blog today on 790 The Ticket, whereas the dialogue around the NBA draft lottery is now, oh, tanking is dead. This de-incentivizes teams at the top from tanking. But I think it's alive more than ever because now it incentivizes teams that are on the fringe of the playoffs to maybe, you know, trade away a player, or as the Pelicans did, sit Anthony Davis, or as the Lakers did, sit a LeBron James towards the end of the season in order to position themselves for a better draft lottery slot.
I agree with that. What it does, it sets you up for second half of the season tanking, because let's face it, what's the difference in your season if you win 19 or 29 games? It's still an unenjoyable, miserable ride anyway. So you get to a point in the season, almost like when you guys got all your callers on the two stations in midseason that said, hey, the Heat should start tanking. Well, if the Heat did start tanking at that midseason point, you're right. They could have gotten to the Lakers level. They could have gotten to the Grizzlies level. They could be there. So I think what this does is it lets teams know in February, they'll wait till February now. You'll get better games in October, November, December, and January. And then you can say, okay, if we go to the playoffs, this happens. If we don't go to the playoffs, this might happen. And you know what? Look at the seeds this year in the playoffs. Top four seeds in each conference advanced. This is not a league of upsets. This is not a league where a number seven seed makes the NBA Finals. This isn't the NCAA tournament where you can make it from the first weekend through the second weekend. Those stories don't happen. There is no Loyola of Chicago. I agree. I think teams are going to have to sit down and really make decisions at the trading deadline. Are they in or are they out? As Manny knows, happens in Major League Baseball also. I think you're going to see a lot more action at trade deadlines. I agree, Zach, because of that.
Last question. You guys can follow him on Twitter at Ira Heat Beat before we let you enjoy the nice and windy and cool Chicago night here. Look, obviously you cover the Miami Heat, but you are not one to shy away from an opinion on another sport or another story. I saw that you posted on Twitter the other day about Adam Gase. What do you make of what's going on in New York with Gase the Almighty?
Well, first of all, guys, and maybe you can even read this on your show later in the show. Did you see the Onion story today?
Did not.
I did not, no.
Okay, you've got to Google this. There's an Onion story that Adam Gase has dismissed all 22 starters on the team, has decided he's going to play every position. It's written
yes.
by a... It's written, you really got to find this. David Florin has tweeted it if you look at some of his Twitter timeline. It then says the release is written by a New York Jets public relations staffer who later was fired so Adam Gase could take that over also. And it's just incredible. You know what's incredible, guys? He wasn't even the coach who coined the term fail forward. And yet when you look at it, he's the ultimate Cam Cameron type of disciple. He has found a way to fail forward to the point that if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm worried because Adam Gase is clearly coming after his job. I've never seen anything like this guy. I've never seen anything where the worse you get and the worse results and the more trouble and the more sort of backsliding you keep getting promoted. This probably is before your time. Do you guys remember the movie with Peter Sellers Being There?
Before my time, yeah.
Okay, his name was Chance the Gardener. He was a simple man who was the gardener. People thought his name was Chauncey Gardner. He eventually became president. People kept going, oh, well, you know, he's the guy. He's an innocent guy. It can't be a problem. He's the right guy for the right job. That's the Adam Gase thing. If you guys get a chance during the break, go to The Onion. Believe me, you'll be reading the story on
the air. I've already found it. You have turned me. I love this story.
It is the perfect Adam Gase story. So I'm going to let you go, and you can fill your next few segments just with that story.
I love it. You guys can follow him on Twitter, at Ira Heatbeat. Covers the Heat for the Sun Sentinel. Ira, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us on a Friday night, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip, all right?
And apparently I'm going to be Jets coach next week. Thank you, guys.
See ya, Ira.
That's Ira Winderman.